You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my latest book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to flankerpress.com. If you'd like it personalized, send a message to eoldford@flankerpress.com, and I'll personalize it and send it out within the week. Makes a great Christmas present. It's almost that time of year again. Remember, flankerpress.com and eoldford@flankerpress.com if you'd like it personalized. Have a great Christmas. Happy hockey season. Hello all, and welcome to the $25,000 pyramid. I'm your host, Dick Clark. This is Tales with TR. I'm your host, Terry Ryan. $25,000 pyramid. I was just thinking about that. That show, I believe, now is the $100,000 pyramid. And growing up, used to watch it after school. There were always reruns. I think it started at like the $10,000 pyramid. Eventually, of course, it'll be the $10 billion pyramid. That's the way inflation works. Anyway, good to be with you guys again this week. Before we start, I hate apologizing so much, but I know a lot of you are waiting for Nasty Morasty, and we're just going to have him on next week. And I'll tell you why. Our days are real long. I can't plan a podcast. So the only day we have off this week is Friday, which is today. And even later, we're going to go to the Sudbury Wolves game. And there's a lot to, I'm referring to as we're filming this TV series, Shorzy, I've never laughed so much while we're filming. So I think it's going to be fun, if nothing else. But we've had long, I'm talking like, you know, having to remember like 11 and 12 pages of dialogue a day, being in there for 10 to, I don't know, to 12 or 13 hours. So it's tough to really plan a podcast and even get one done. And not only that, the hotel I'm in, the Wi-Fi sucks. So I had actually tried with Nasty Morasty last week, didn't work. I had a couple of guests lined up, and you'd think I would be able to do it from my room. And anyway, it didn't work. So I figured from that point, I said, I'll just have someone that's in the hotel with me and I'll just bring them in. But I only got one mic and it almost feels like a radio or a Hockey Night in Canada interview when you're passing the mic back and forth. Although that might be a good thing for me, so I can't cut people off. But in any case, Nasty and the Nolan boys, Jordan and Brandon, that is, who star as Jim 1, Jim 2, and Jim 3 in this show. They're gone home, and there are a few, I'd say there's probably 8 or 9 of us in the hotel now. I had Dolo on already. Some aspiring actors, Ryan McDonald and Harlan Kitwayat, who I was going to have what's the series he's in? Tribal. And now he plays Sanguinette in this show, who is our coach. And he's a real funny guy, mid-20s, used to be a bartender, and he's in the new Predator movie. You're going to hear his name a lot, but Tassia Telez is here. And a lot of you, when I mentioned that last week, I got bombarded with messages from, she's a lot of things. She owns, if you've been to Toronto or Vancouver or Montreal, there's awesome new resto bars called The Parlor, and they're awesome. I went in there in Toronto with that a few weekends ago when we watched the Leafs. had no idea they were hers, and ran into her here. She told me all about it. But anyway, she's on a crazy popular series called The 100. And apparently a lot of you watch that. I've seen bits and pieces. It's one of those, I realize now I got to watch from the beginning. Think like Lost or something like that. You know, if you miss an episode, you've missed a lot. It's hard to tie it together if you miss even half an episode. But anyway, you know, that's when I became aware of her, but she's been on the go for a long time in acting, modeling circles, things like that. We've got Kehlani Rose, who's also in a number of films. She was telling me, she's in Woodland. That's what she was telling me about. Another thing, Within the Silence. We got Blair LaMora. Anyway, we've got, I hate leaving people out, but there you go. All these people that I just mentioned, they're in the hotel. I'm just up really early, and I think they had if not a few drinks, because they all don't drink, obviously, but Harlan made his debut recently in this show, Tribal. And he's been in like four things in the last year, but he's only been at it a couple of years. And this was his like big on-screen debut. So they all watched it. I ended up crashing. That was like 3 a.m. because we didn't get off till about 1:30. But anyway, I figured, look, next week I'm going to have the luxury of being able to use the office that the show uses. So I think there's a couple of mornings that I'm not in. So I'm going to take this. I'm going to go in there and get a good clean cut of a nice interview with Nasty Morasty. He's got some unbelievable stories. I just don't want to give anything away too early, but what you see is what you get. Tough guy. Those of you hockey fans that know the legend of Nasty Morasty, you won't be disappointed. I tell you this, that he's almost exactly what I would have expected. And a good cat. Good cat. I mean, you know, when you're in the room and you're hockey dressing room is one thing, but we're here like dressing in our hockey gear and we're going through the scenes, even though the choreograph, we're in a room where, and they're not all, I don't want to give it away, but these stunts are the most real stunts I've done, man. This is wild. Wait till you see this shit. Like it's a lot of it's really happening. You have to have an organ. You have to choreograph it, obviously, if that's the right word, choreograph, I suppose. In that camera placement and everything is important. Right, when you're doing hits and punches and things like that. And the faker you do it, the more important that is. But, you know, a lot of this stuff that we're doing is just guys going, you know what, fuck it. Let's just, you know, we want to do a great job here. So let's make this look real and we're going to actually hit each other. And I mean, like full fucking on. It's wild. Unbelievable stunt coordinators, Dan and Sean Skeen. Skeen? Skeens. Anyway. They worked on a lot of hockey stuff. It's not easy to pull off hockey, but I'm running away again. Point is, look, I'm going to answer some listener questions this week. It's been busy to say the least. So that's what you got and that's what you're going to get. And if you're still listening, then I suppose I shall do my best. First thing I want to say, Brady Leavold. Okay. He was my guest a little while ago. You know, is it Mental Health Hockey? He has the podcast that used to be Hockey to Heroin. Now I think it's Hockey to Hell. Just one minute. I got to find this. Brady. I want to make sure. Okay, so on Instagram, it's Mental Health Hockey. Retired pro hockey recovering addict. And he's also the founder of Puck Support. Check that out as well. So, anyway, he's back playing senior hockey. He's pretty pumped about it. Anybody that played junior or you played away and you go home and players often talk about the transition. I'm telling you, senior hockey is a great outlet. And it's better than it's ever been, man. You know, there's all kinds of players that are staying at it. And when I've said that over the past 10 or 15 years, you know, that's what I was, that's the cards I was dealt when my ankle was pretty bad. I couldn't handle 50 games a year, let alone 80. And senior was perfect. And it was a lot of ex-pros, guys who had, you know, had their eyes on the prize, CIS, NCAA, whatever, junior A. And
I love playing. Anyway, Brady's got the bug. So he's, as most of you know, he was, I know there's, I don't want to underestimate anybody's struggles, but as far as addicts go, you know, he was on the street. You know, Brent Myers has a similar story. I know it's not easy for anybody. I'm just saying that for Brady is really magnified because the guy had the world by the balls, great hockey player. Look at his stats, played in the Western League for a few teams, but Kelowna, he had some great years with some players like Jamie Benn, right? He got seriously, I mean, people get on the dope, whatever, but his ride was insane, and he probably should be dead. But he was, do I want to use the word blessed? Depends. I'm spiritual, but again, you guys know that I'm not tied to any one religion. But, you know, yeah, whatever it is, some, you know, if I don't want to use the word fate, whatever it is, okay, this guy was given a second chance, and he's changing people's lives because there's all kinds of people in his position. So what I wanted to say is congrats for getting your first goal in 10 years, Brady. I'm paying attention online. Looks like a pretty decent league you're playing in, the Maxville Mustangs. And it's a long road. And, you know, it gave me goosebumps. And you want to check it out, folks, just go to his Instagram page. And check it out. It's always nice to see people fucking smile, you know? Jesus. And is this day and age? And that's one of another thing that going back, I love about Nasty. You know, we don't see, I won't say see eye to eye because that seems like there, but you know, some sides of the fence, we have talks, you know, most of it's about hockey, whatever, but you know, things get rather political here and there. And we're on the page with most stuff, right? But some things we don't agree on, but we can talk about it and laugh. Fuck. And that's the way it always was. And that's what I loved about hockey dressing rooms. There's always, you know, you take a fucking farmer from the West and a engineer from Michigan and a, I don't know, a son of a tennis pro from Orlando. And you take a fisherman from Newfoundland and you take, you know, on and on and on and on, you know, French. There's so many different cultures. No one's going to fucking see eye to eye, but you all work together on a team. Right. And that's what I always loved about it. Things like what your fucking stance on is on abortion and immigration and stuff. Those are just conversations. It shouldn't be reason to hate. Fuck. Right. I mean, I don't know. I just, and there's no need to dive into it. You have a conversation, and that's the way it always was. Fuck. Now it's so divisive, man. I mean, I can't even look at Facebook anymore. And I don't know where that Facebook just came, this political platform. I mean, I know when and how. I can't fucking look at it. Like, And why does everybody all of a sudden need to be a politician? But why do I need to care about, like, show me your fucking picture of going to the park with your kid, huh? I don't need to know what you think about the new fucking infrastructure bill signed in the White House. I don't need to argue about that. Fuck, let them take care of it. And whoever it is, if you're in Canada, the US, you voted them in or her in or wherever you are. People you vote in, you want to change? Fucking wait till the next election. Whatever fucking side you're on. But I don't need to see it when I wake up looking for Penny Lane soccer fucking highlights as I sit in Ontario and I'm looking down and I need to be told I'm an asshole for getting the vaccine or for supporting gay rights or whatever it is. I like to keep those things quiet. And when I am loud about it, it's just in support of people. I don't know. Really, for right, civil rights kind of stuff. You know, why do I give a shit where people have sex? And that's another thing. But, there's the far right and the far left are dominating everything. God, I got to get to the questions now in a second. But, you know, I think we're going a bit far when we say that Superman's gay. Not because you know, I don't want him to be gay, but who gives a shit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're almost, what's the word? You're almost, shooting yourself in the foot, or you know what I mean? Activists, like, just 1 second. Okay. Sorry, my computer. I got notifications on my computer. If you heard that, apologies, Facebook and all that shit's going off. I don't know. Seems like it's on its last legs, but anyway, where was I? You know, I just never thought about Superman fucking anybody. Even Lois Lane, you know, these superheroes are appealing to like 5 and 6 year olds first, and then you remain a fan your whole life. And I guess when you're older, like me or you or who the fuck's listening, when you become in your teens, I suppose, or late teens, I don't know, everybody's different. Then I guess you can figure it out for yourself. Batman hangs out with Robin. I don't know, man. They're around each other quite a bit. Maybe they fuck. I don't know. I don't care. But like, once you make it a thing, then it becomes like almost, you're thinking about it. Like, you know, now I'm thinking about Superman hitting fucking Club 54 with a glow stick in his mouth, doing fucking E banging. I why do I need, you know, I don't, why does that need to be in my head? Gay, straight, bisexual, trans, whatever it is. Superman, go ahead. You came from fucking Krypton and you're here to save me, right? There's a fucking monster coming in my house. Now save me. I don't give a fuck where you stick your dick. And I never did. But when you overstate it, oh, okay, yes, I get it. He's fucking gay. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Fuck the Green Goblin to death? No. So fucking who cares? Right? And again, support it all. I just think we're going too far. I'm again in the center. And I think most people are. I don't think everybody's a fucking QAnon person. And I don't think everybody is woke. But there's a big fucking bunch of us in between. So, I don't know. To be divisive, I don't think is productive. Okay. Now, hey, Terry. Where are we going with this? What's your favorite sports monument? I wrote these down again because it's wonky, my Wi-Fi. So I wrote them down at breakfast downstairs. Okay, what's your favorite sports moment from Gene in Sault Ste. Marie? Gene, Sault Ste. Marie, not far. We're in Sudbury right now, if I haven't mentioned. I'm actually heading there before I go back to see my buddy Brendan Brooks, who came up last weekend. Good to see him again. My favorite sports moment. Okay. I don't need to beat to death the 1987 Lemieux to Gretzky, Gretzky to Lemieux, top corner for a 2-1 series win against Russia for the third game in a row, 6-5. Lemieux winners. That was just an awesome, and they say your heroes are formed when you're like 10, 11 years old. They, meaning Stephen Brunt, very smart dude whose books I've read and I enjoy, but there, a lot of people refer that often, you know, that's the, you know, hockey card age. You're really forming a lot of opinions. You're forming your heroes. That's why, honestly, think about it in your head, what your favorite things in life are. A lot of them are from when you're 10 years old, right? So the Mario Lemieux goal for Team Canada, it's really hard to beat that for me. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to beat John Slaney from Newfoundland in 1991 at the World Juniors in Saskatoon, scoring the winner in dramatic fashion. Those things were otherworldly that I felt like I was having an out-of-body experience. And it's hockey, okay? Now, I've had one more. I love a lot of moments in sports. Jordan, clutch shot, times 10. You know, he did it all the time. That was just mesmerizing. Tiger Woods as the shot, the Nike, the ball. I forget where it was, but it was phenomenal. He chipped in, and it just rolled in. It was made for TV. That and when he won the Masters again a couple of years ago and ran out and hugged his son. He's back swinging the club again. Can you fucking imagine after this debilitating surgeries and car accidents? And I mean, you got to admire his fucking focus and determination, if nothing else. What a goddamn athlete Tiger Woods is. But anyway, all those are great. But there's a moment in 1988, World Series. No. Was there? Let me see this. Let me see. One sec. I've got to get it exact because it's an unbelievable moment. Okay, so Kirk Gibson. Just typed it in. Vince Scully's making the call too. It's unreal in so many ways. Okay, so they got the full at bat online. It's 1988 World Series. Okay, so yeah, if you go online and just what am I looking at? It's YouTube. Kirk Gibson's dramatic game winning home run, and they're playing against the Oakland A's. Hall of Famer Dennis Eckersley is pitching. You got Tony La Russa too, who's still coaching, which is wild. And he looks the same. So like, it must be in his late 70s. Anyway, Kirk Gibson has two leg injuries. Each leg is hampered big time. So he's got torn ligaments in his knee and the other one, it's his hamstring. So he can't run, but he's a great player, right? One of the best of his era. So Tommy Lasorda, another legendary baseball name, is GM for the Dodgers. And Gibson's out because he's hurt. He's out for the year. He's just on the bench in spirit, if nothing else. You know, he didn't take batting practice. I mean, he wasn't going to play till next spring or next fall. Spring. So next spring. Jesus, Terry. So anyway, they call him. It's packed, obviously, right? They're down by a run. Man on first. Gibson comes up. So as if the situation couldn't, and they pull him out of the dugout and the place is going, are you fucking kidding me? And even Scully, and I forget who's doing the color there. Vince Scully is a legendary baseball announcer. If nothing else, listen to it for that. So this moment is perfect for a lot of reasons. Okay. So it's Vince Scully, it's Gibson, who's just an awesome player. One of the best of his era. And one of my favorite of the time, a real gamer, you know, he gets pulled out and he's, of the dugout, people see him coming and they just go mad. And they know that all he can do, like, and not only that, when you see him swing, he can't swing with his legs. So he's literally just up there to will the ball. Like, and if he gets it in the outfield, if it goes to right field, they're probably going to throw him out at first because he can't run. So he's got to almost get a perfect hit or a home run. So anyway, goes to bat and it's whoever is on first nearly gets picked off. And then the moment would have never happened right off the bat. Okay, and then the count 0-2 at one point. So now you figure he's sitting duck. It's 0-2. This guy shouldn't be swinging a bat for another 6 months, and he can't use half of his body, right? But he fouls off another 5 or 6, and it's a few balls. So now it's 3-2. Okay, Eckersley on the mound, Hall of Famer. For a lot of people, their favorite commentator ever, Vince Scully. And all these things stand alone as crazy moments. But anyway, Gibson hits the homer. And even as I speak, I'm getting goosebumps. It's just, and you see him limp around the bases. He can barely make it around the bases. The players don't want to lift him up in the air because they know they're going to hurt him. It's just fucking amazing. And it's one of the best. Yeah, it's probably, you know, outside of hockey, it's definitely my favorite moment. I'm not saying Gibson's my favorite player. And I don't, just by extension, I don't cheer for the National League because my dad grew up loving the Yankees, and dad will always cheer for the American League for some reason. When it comes down to it, whoever the rep is from the American League, and he's never really liked the Dodgers, but and so, you know, I'm not saying every decision I make is my dad's decision, but when you're 10 years old and there's one TV, you watch and you tend to form your opinions that way. And, you know, dad liked the Yankees and the Habs. It wasn't hard to be a sports fan in my house, right? The Celtics, like it was all teams with major fucking league history. So I said I was a writer, but I wouldn't have known, like I liked Red Fisher. Treated me like shit, but God rest his soul. He did treat me like shit when I met him. But, you know, I liked him as much as Guy Lafleur, but it was because dad loved the Habs. So like, and they had these legendary players and writers. So, you know, to me, like Stan Fischler and he wasn't a Habs, I guess he was a general, but Red Fisher was legendary for the Habs for years. And guys, even now, like Jack Todd, Herb Zerkowski, Pat Hickey, I always just, even if I wasn't with the Habs, I'd be reading these guys because, you know, I just love the teams. It's the same thing with the Celtics and the Yankees. Dad liked Man U, you know, back in the day. He likes Leicester now. But anyway, teams with rich histories, I guess he was drawn to. So that was my education. Now I'm a Jays fan, right? But I still love the whole aura of the Yankees. And my top five athletes ever is definitely Derek Jeter. It's up there. You know, that kind of heart and determination and spirit and courage and team play. That's one thing Dad did, you know, he fucking pushed team play, and I appreciate that because I do think it's just it's a major attribute to have up your sleeve in life, not just on the sports court or anything or wherever you're, you know, I mean, like just even here, like, you know, on set, a lot of team players and things get done more efficiently. Anyway, there you go, Gene. I hope I didn't ramble too much. Check it out for yourself. Kirk Gibson, 1988. It's a lot of spirit you're going to see. And people say baseball doesn't have courage. Fuck off, man. It certainly does. And those guys play 162 regular season games a year. I know it's not the hardest sport. Even that, it's hard to, well, one of the hardest things to do is hit a major league pitch. I mean, on the body. But it might appear that way, but it is, man. You got to swing. You got to go from 0 to 60 in split seconds in baseball. You know, a lot of soccer, hockey, say football, you're often a little bit more warmed up. Football, I guess, stopping and starting, but you're still a little bit more. There's more running. You might play center field and just stand there, really all game, and then all of a sudden one's hit to the hole and it's 3-3, and you got to like fucking make a move. You might have to steal a base. Right? You're on second, you don't know, like somebody gets a hold of it and you got to decide whether it's going to go through to the outfield. Do you make a charge for third or do you go back? And if you make the charge, right, you might rip a groin because you've been sitting there in the cold for often for 10, 12 minutes on base, right? So it's harder than on the body than I think people think. Your body has to be, and you know, to hit a pitch isn't easy. Vladimir Guerrero is proving that it's, you don't have to be in the best shape to hit the ball, but it helps. But by that, I mean, he's, you know, he came in way overweight and I don't think he's ever going to be a greyhound, but like Tiger Woods, right? It's golf. You wouldn't think you have to be a physical specimen to play, but it certainly helps. Okay, so hey DJTR, no name on this. Hey DJTR, what's the most annoying thing you find about sports? My God, about sports in general. And hey DJTR, oh, I see. So this is from one of the boys at home for sure. One night I went in to DJ at home about 10 years ago. And when I say DJ, I mean like I'm just going in and playing playlists and mixing songs together. By no means actually go in, Lex Grivas, shout out DJ Lex. Or for any, you know, for people that are actual DJs that go in and mix the shit and everything and have two fucking record players going. And that's incredible. That's not what I was doing. I like music. I cannot DJ in the truest sense. What they needed was someone to string songs together at this bar, right? So, and I'm behind the thing, like looking like I'm DJing, but I wasn't. But anyway, I was way off. I thought, and usually if I'm playing tunes in the room and shit like that, I'm still the guy to do it at home. I bring my stereo every game, play tunes and let it go around the room, right? Pick up what people are laying down. So I generally have a decent idea what works. I don't know everything, but I know what works and what doesn't. I just go to one of the boys on the team. Hey, you guys, give me a few you want to hear, you know, because if there's one thing I'm out of touch with, it's hip hop the last few years. Some I like, most I don't. That monotonous shit, that's just one sound, the whole song. And you're wondering if you're in a cave listening to a someone nauseous, wanting to vomit, or you're at a club or some shit. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But I'm not saying all new hip hop either. There's lots that I like. Most of it, though, comes out in the room, okay, in the dressing room. Especially, like, I go home, I play senior with the St. John's Caps, everything else, right? But a lot of the guys are in their early 20s, so that side is represented. But point being, I went to this bar, and, like, I played, and it was a total disaster. But, I mean, I was playing, like, I remember the Chemical Brothers, and people boo. I'm like, the Chemical Brothers? Aren't they fucking, I don't know a bad album, right? I'm not saying I was in there playing, like, fucking Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Beatles and stuff. I mean, I know... not to do that in a, this wasn't really, this was a bar. What was it called? I can't even remember. It was the old Sam Shades. I think it was like a startup bar at home, you know, clearly. But anyway, it's not an easy gig because people are coming up the whole time too. And I've also done a couple of weddings and, you know, that's a lot easier because you can generally pick a cheesy playlist or it's generally requests, but you know, when there's so many requests, it's just overwhelming. And I know now I know what people go through. You know, I said that at the time. I was like, fuck, man, being a DJ, the hardest part is just all the requests, trying to please everybody. Because no matter what you do, people are going to complain and not maybe come up and go, fuck off what you're playing. But they'll keep requesting stuff. And you're like, hey, man, like, just give me like three songs, will you? Just back off for a second. Anyway, in my short experience, but I mean, I see it at clubs, people going up and talking to the DJ. And I was one of those guys too for a while. And I'll never do it again. Hey, you know what? I want to play one. I know you're paid by the bar to do this, but trust me, everybody wants to hear my song, right? And then fucking have two shooters play your song and then leave. Fuck, how ignorant must I have looked at some points? I was that guy, man. I was that guy. Right? Love music. I didn't mean to be, but I was that guy. Anyway, fuck, get back to the question. What's the most annoying thing I find about sports? Right now, it's football celebrations. Like, first of all, do football players know how silly they look when they celebrate? I don't know what it is, but let's say a goal in soccer or hockey. Just there's all kinds of celebrations in all kinds of sports. I'm just saying those are standalone moments. The ball goes in, the puck goes in, celly. Well, I don't know if it's because, say, in soccer and hockey, you don't have that helmet. I mean, hockey, you got a helmet, but you can see, you can, you know, a lot of people aren't wearing a visor. You can push the visor, whatever it is, you see the personality. Hockey's a lot smoother too, right? You're almost like a fucking superhero, for lack of a better way to do it. You get a breakaway goal, you turn into the corner, you're all of a sudden going like 30 kilometers an hour, get down on one knee. There's a grace to it. There's a real, like, I gotta think. I don't give a fuck what people think of hockey. But in general, because I know we're always going to have fans, but most sports fans would have to say that our sellies look the best. And soccer, I would put us first, though, because we're on skates.
The NHL season is underway and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection. However they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win 100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And But we don't, there's two parts of this. So because of that, I don't know what it is, but in football, you know, they all have the helmet on and you can't see anything. A lot of them have the dark visor over the helmet. So it's just like a bunch of bobbleheads like bouncing around. And I can see it after a touchdown though, but like, I don't know if it's that you can't see their heads or their faces, or it's the fact that they're celebrating after like a hit. You know what I mean? Or it'll be like second down, like they cause someone to go out of bounds and they'll dance around and do like the jig. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing? And the other reason, and I mean, again, it's just like, I don't know, fucking Matthew Tkachuk making a hit at center ice and then just going and, you know, doing the canoe or something. I mean, it just, and like taking out fucking cell phones and the cellies and shit. I mean, I don't know. So, yeah, there's that. I can see if you like rush for a touchdown or it's a big play. Of course, man, you're going to celebrate. But example, so the Detroit Lions were a disaster. If you watch football, they played yesterday and it was just embarrassing on so many levels. They haven't won in like 17 games, their own 11 this year, 10-1. And it got down to the, anyway, so they score a touchdown. And here's a team that's 0-10-1 in a 17 game season. Okay. They get the touchdown. And 8 or 9 guys fucking line up. They sit down. And whoever it was got the touchdown. I don't know anybody in Detroit. It goes over with the ball and is feeding them. Yeah, I know they were giving their homage to Thanksgiving, right? But it was a stupid celebration. But whatever, they did it. And if they're in first place, I guess it's great. But they do it. And they get caught up. So I get here they are like 0-10. And right after, I believe it was the field goal right after after the touchdown. And they had too many people on the field. And they realized that. And this dude tried to run off the field anyway. It was a penalty. And you're like, you fucking idiots. Like, you just went out. You had the presence of mind. You must have thought this play out. Imagine your mindset. You're 0-10-1. And you're in the room choreographing a stunt after a touchdown, of which you likely won't even get one. And then, as all the world is looking, it's Thanksgiving Day, and as bad as they are, they always play on Thanksgiving, and everybody has to watch the Detroit Lions, and don't have the presence of mind to know the situation you're in on the next play. Yet, you pulled off the celebration flawlessly. A very hard one to pull off, too. How fucking embarrassing. And then down, anyway, without getting into the rest of the game, which was a fucking joke. You know, or type it in on YouTube, early celebrations in football. Guys like running down and then like stop 1 yard before and like dangle the ball and it falls out of their fucking hand or something, or they throw it down. And I just think it looks so stupid. And maybe it's because it happens so frequently in football. But yeah, I mean, you know, celebrations aren't really a thing in basketball unless you dunk or something. And you know, I guess it happens. You don't see it after like a nice pass or like someone break up. But in football, it's like, I don't know. They got carte blanche to like just fucking sell it a nothing, like a gain of 2 yards. And guys are fucking waddling around doing the duck. It's fucking retarded. Can I use that word, retarded? That used to be probably not, but I don't mean anything by it. And you know, why can't you use that word? As long as we're talking political polarization. But, you know, like, I don't know, like there has to be a word for things. Right. I guess. Like if I listen to a lot of old radio shows, like from the 40s and 50s, I love doing that. You can always hear like, wow, that was a different time. But people generally, I just watched James Bond from Russia with Love and Sean Connery. Someone asked him like to do something just insane. And he says, yeah, what are you, retarded? But now there would be a freak show about what can you say that? Because whatever he's saying isn't retarded, and retarded is a word. It's not a swear word. But for some reason, we can't use it anymore. And maybe that's just me, but in my circles, you know, I've been mildly reprimanded. Hey, don't use that word. Retarded. Isn't it a word? I could. Like, what did it come out of? Wasn't it used to describe things or brains that were retarded? It doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Didn't retarded mean? What would it mean? You know what? Let me look it up. Less advanced in mental, physical, or social development than is usual for one's age. Okay. I just don't know why that's a bad thing. So if I say mental disability, you know, and then what are we talking about? I mean, I admit it. I have lots of mental health issues. I think it's a regular thing. A lot of times my thoughts were definitely retarded. Definitely. There you go. I don't know. I blew my signing bonus. A lot of those decisions were retarded at the highest level in my mind. And if someone said it to me, I would be like, yeah, man, like, fuck, man, what was I thinking? I was retarded. I never did take it to be an insult. Like, well, I suppose, yes, it's an insult. Like, you're stupid or that's not a bad word. You can make anything an insult. Anyway, moving on. I don't know how I got there, I fucking love watching football too, because I know I'm going to get a plethora of fucking emails now. Oh, football's harder than hockey, and you don't realize they celebrate because they work hard. And I'm just saying, I don't think every fucking play of the game deserves a fucking magic wand to come out, or a fisherman, or a fucking canoe, or whatever it is they do, doing the barbecue, doing the shower, like in the middle of the game for a 2-yard gain. It doesn't make any sense. Okay. TR, this is from Pollant. Now, I don't know if it's Pollen T or Pauline, and you hit the T by accident there, a little error of the fingers, but I've never heard the name Pollant. But nevertheless, we're going to call you Pollant for now. And from Verdun. What do you think the Habs should do this year? I talked a little bit about that last week. I want to make clear, when I say that they should, you know, make big changes, being, I think, the coach and the GM at this point, at the very least, I mean it, because sometimes you just need to clean house and show something and go in a different direction. That's just the way sports is. I don't think any coach or GM thinks they're, you know, They're not making long-term plans in that city. So being in that, you know, it's unique to even be somewhere 5 years, your GM or a coach. So that's all I meant by that. The other side of this is that I don't think that will necessarily help right away. I just think they need a different look and image, but they're not good. Like, sometimes no one wants to talk about it. People get on there and they analyze the game and they talk about, you know, this 3-on-2 and that breakdown. Sometimes teams are just worse than others. You know what I mean? Like, the Habs walked into Washington the other day and people are freaking out. Washington beat them 6-3. Of course they did. Washington have better players on their team. You know what I mean? Like, who did you think was going to win? I don't know. The Habs in a tough position, man. They lost Carey Price, one of the best players in the world. They lost Shea Weber, man. Also one of the best players in the world. Captain, right? I don't care what you say. That Phil Deneau, man, he was wicked two-way. Corey Perry, in major league losses, man. And they, you know, it was a Cinderella ride as it was. But, you know, I expect them to lose because they're not as good as the other teams. Ottawa in last place. Yeah, because they're not good. You know what I mean? You can only break it down so much. Right? Oh, Ottawa goes in Edmonton. Oh, they lost again. Well, what are they going to do? Fire the coach? I don't know. Edmonton are way better. What are you going to say? You know, are Ottawa going to be good in the future? Definitely. Guys like Josh Norris, Dwayne Norris, by the way, shout out Newfoundland, Dwayne Norris's son. But yeah, I mean, I don't expect Josh Norris, who's a great player, to outplay Connor McDavid, but that's, Dreisaitl, or, you know, you can go down the list, but it's a depth thing. That's, you know, Brady Tkachuk, I suppose.
and Stutzel and Norris. I mean, these are the guys. So in a few years, for sure. But do you expect them to play better than the top two scorers of their generation? Probably not. If they lose 5-4, I'd go, geez, man, 60 minutes and you nearly beat that team. But I know you don't see it that way, or a lot of people don't. You know, Arizona. Wow, you know, what are they going to do in Arizona? I don't know. I guess get better players because they're not good. Did you expect them to be good? Look at the lineup. What were you thinking? When Lawson Krause is your third leading scorer and he's got like 6 points in 20 games, what did you think was going to happen? I mean, so anyway, you know, do you tank for Shane Wright if you're these teams? I like what Bergevin said. He said, you know, if you're going into games trying to lose, you're in the wrong business. And I agree with that. But what I would do is clean house now so you lose unintentionally. And I mean that. I'd rather lose with, like, you get a bunch of guys like, you know, that Suzuki, Caulfield, like, you know, that age, run with it. A couple of veterans that are presence, not necessarily. Maybe someone that already won the cup rather than someone who wants one, you know. That can be there for a little bit of a veteran presence. Get them for bargain basement, 1.5, 2 mil, whatever. Even if it was Joe Thornton, whatever. He wants to play somewhere still. I mean, he's going to be playing until they take his cane away from him. But, you know, there's a fit somewhere around the league of a guy like that looking for a game. And that's what I would do. And I would, you know, I mean, all the guys that are worth anything, Petrie, Price, Sherratt, all of them. And it might hurt Habs fans to hear that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just saying it. They're probably not going to make the playoffs this year, and you know, really early. What's the advantage of that? You'd never try to fucking lose, but trade those guys, get in, you know, just a bunch of future prospects, and let them win and lose together, and go out there and try to win every goddamn game. And then you lose more often than not with dignity. And next year, maybe the year after, maybe you do get Shane Wright. Maybe you're rolling, right? But I would at this point never try to lose, but structure the lineup so as it's a bonus. If you win, then they're further along than you thought they were. And if they lose, you just get a great top five pick next year. That's what I would do. Now, have I been wrong? Yes, I've been wrong in that exact situation. I didn't go back to camp and it cost me, but anyway. Okay, same kind of question from Carl in Quesnel again. A lot of people listen in Quesnel. Thanks, guys. Same question from the Vancouver point of view, I guess. What do you think of the Canucks? What do they have to do? I tell you, the Canucks got to fucking try, because watching Elias Pettersson, I mean, he came into the league a couple of years ago and he was this little scrawny kid. Every game I thought he was going to get shit kicked and he didn't. And he showed a lot of spunk, courage. He was not that he was a fighter or anything, but, you know, for a guy that small. And frail to be out there playing an NHL game, I was very impressed. He used his hockey IQ to the best of his ability. He seemed to enjoy the game. I don't know. Didn't he just sign a contract this summer, I think? Anyway, he looks poison out there. Like, he's not even finishing hits. I know he's not a hitter, but, like, if you're right next to a guy that has the puck, man, at least rub him out. At least try. Back check. I mean, he's mailing it in. And if I'm JT Miller or Bo Horvat, to name a couple, jury's out on Hughes. I don't know what to think. You know, he doesn't – I don't know. He shows spurts, but sometimes he looks the same, like unmotivated. And I don't know. It's Don Giroux. I think the Canucks have a quicker – that might be more of a, like, GM coach thing. I think they could turn it around quicker. I think Pettersson is better than anybody on Montreal. He's not trying. You know, if you look at their top – I mean, even just Quinn Hughes – right, these guys are young Horvat players. I don't want to go down the list, but they got more to give. And I think
Yeah, I think just a little culture change could they could make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to, but it's at least on the outer fringes of possible. The Habs, definitely not. I'll cut off my fucking 3 toes off my right foot and eat them for breakfast if that happens. And I would, I probably wouldn't, but it's not happening. Anyway, it's an effort thing. Okay. Hey, Terry, what do you think of the young Newfoundland prospects? This comes from Jim in San Jose. Huh? San Jose. Thanks for listening. Love it. And I assume this season, I'll only talk about a couple, okay? So this season, we're talking about Dawson Mercer, Alex Newhook. They're doing awesome. And by the way, Ken Reed, I know you're listening. Thanks a lot for giving Senior a shout-out the other day when Alex scored. Listen, these guys are awesome players, and I get goosebumps watching them play. Dawson, I mean, I knew he was good and skated with him multiple times in the summers. I knew Dawson was good, and I remember 2 years ago before he was drafted going, wow, this kid's awesome. But, you know, you never expect someone to come in 19, 20 years old and fucking rip it. And he looks just great right from exhibition. He scored one of the nicest goals of the season in exhibition. Check it out on YouTube. But I'm really proud of him, man. And Dawson's father, Craig, shout out. He was a great hockey player from Newfoundland, senior hockey player. Back in the day when not a lot of people went away, I think he could have. And maybe he did. Maybe he played junior. So he's a little bit older than me, and I forget if anybody from Bay Roberts area is listening. Shout out to Craig. But yeah, Dawson is just a great kid, and I think his attitude, you know, like I said about Brady earlier, you know, it's nice to see someone fucking smiling. And Dawson is smiling, and he's having fun. And it's just a microcosm of what you want all kids, you know, you can tell. And he was always like that, Dawson, even when he was, you know, making the world juniors and, you know, becoming a prospect and major junior. All that, of course, will put a smile on your face. But, you know, there's a lot of adversity that goes with that stuff, right? And he's just always handled it the right way. Some people are 30 before they're 16, you know, and Alex is the same way. Don't let their love of life, though, confuse you. And don't mix that for, you know, some kind of lackadaisical nonchalance, because they're very focused. They just, you know, man, you can't be, in my mind, you just do better at whatever you're going to do if you're happy, if you're smiling. And anyway, Alex, again, was sent down at the beginning of the year, right? Alex Newhook, who's, you know, with the pride and joy of St. John's and people all over him and loving him. And, you know, at the very beginning, got sent down. I was the first one to say it on this program. I never thought he would stay down for long. But he did. You know, you get to deal with that. And you never know when you're going to go back up, right? I mean, often I remember being told that's the joke, right? Oh, I got sent down for 2 weeks. And that's often what they say for real, right? And then you're down for 8 months and you see them trade for another forward. And you're wondering if you're ever going to go back up, right? And the calls home to your parents seem a lot more necessary. And, you know, and you start contemplating other things. What if I don't make it? And, you know, that happens with every, no matter how good you are, I'm telling you, it happens. Why do musicians keep putting out albums and, you know, strive? Because there's something in you that to never feel secure is almost a good, if you harness that energy the right way, it makes you hungry, you know, and and so anyway, yeah, I'm trying to articulate this. I'm kind of butchering it, but I think you see what I'm talking about. Anyway, congrats to those guys. They're great, great people. And their success is definitely a product of their hard work and well, their talent, obviously, but their hard work and their attitude. Attitude, I'm telling you, goes a long way. I think I'm going to cut it there. Thanks for the questions. Soccer. Listen, did I read this right? So I got my phone. I don't normally, but I got my phone notifications going off as I'm talking. Am I seeing this correctly? Are Canada playing US in Hamilton on January 30th? Like,
I get it. Yeah, I get it. I know that. I mean, that was phenomenal, that game in Edmonton the other day. In the snow. In the snow. And I love that we have a good soccer team again, because we didn't for so long. I just tuned out. I'm telling you, I tuned out. I didn't even know anybody on the team. I mean, I used to. And then they sucked for so long. And now, you know, in these World Cup playdowns and with so much success, I mean, Alphonso Davies, right? That's one thing, but, you know, they're electrifying to watch. And I respected, yeah, I'd look that up. I wanted to make sure I didn't. Alphonso Davies. What a player, man. He's only 21. It seems like I've been watching him for 6 or 7 years. Anyway. Yeah, they're just, man, I would have loved to be at that game in Edmonton. But January 30th in Hamilton, it's going to be minus 30. We're not even talking fucking football. We're talking soccer. I don't know, man. Like, do I get it. We want the advantage. I think that's extreme, is it not? And I guess it has to go through the international committee and they agree to it. Isn't there somewhere we could play that indoors? Right? Fuck. I love that they're doing it, though. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. It's so obvious what we're trying to do is, you know, have home advantage in every sense of the word. But I mean, to have an outdoor game in Hamilton in January, it's the absolute coldest time of the year in the coldest country in the division. Anyway, I don't know whether to love it or hate it. I don't hate it, but fuck, if I was a player, I think I'd go, you know, I love being from Canada, but Jesus Christ, you know, it's tough for them too. Even though we live here, it's still... It's got to be. Fuck, I can't imagine it playing soccer. Not only the cold either, the danger. You can't tell me that. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's going to have to be icy. Fuck, even if it's dry out, it's going to be hard. And I don't know. But hey, we won the last one. So maybe fucking play the World Cup in the dead of winter too. February, who knows? Let's see. Two listeners asked me, by the way, why I talk about DraftKings, because they're a sponsor, okay, because they're a sponsor, and they're a great sponsor, and I'm glad, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, I wouldn't take a sponsor from just anybody. I have to support the product. I don't really know. If the money was right, I'd just honestly look at taking my daughter to Disneyland or something. You know, everything I do, I'm here now. What Penny Lane wants, not saying Penny Lane gets either. I'm certainly not, but we lived, man. We faced adversity. Danielle and I, my ex-wife, we still work together in a lot of ways, have a lot of respect, love for each other. And, but you know, we faced a lot, man. We made some bad investments. She and I, fucking stupid. And always, you know, with the best intentions, we fucking lost our house at one point, man. And we're down. And now not starting, but it took a while to, like anybody, man, I'm sure people can relate. Most people are check to check. I had a lot of money to pay back. I'm almost there. Penny Lane wants a small little modest house. I know exactly where it is. And she wants a white Jeep. And that's what I want out of life. That's it. And I'm almost back. You know, I don't think I'd sponsor something that was related to hate or anything like that. But that's the way I look at any of these gigs now. I'm like, you know, and you often wonder, not that, like, I don't mean like as an actor I get to pick, because I don't. I'm glad this show is going to fucking rock, Shorzy, I'm telling you. But I got to be honest, I would have done it if it was a mayonnaise commercial. but yeah, man, I do support DraftKings, and if you're interested, just like Wedgwood Cafe, check that out on Elizabeth Avenue at home for all your catering, and for TJ's Pub and Greensleeves Downtown, Uptown, Trinity Pub. Check these places out. But if you want some advertising, yeah, just shoot me a note. And if you want a book, just DM me, okay? I have a few here with me in Ontario I can send out. If not, I signed a bunch and left them at Flanker Press before I left. So just shoot me a note at terryryan2020@gmail.com. And if you'd like a book, either the first or the second one, first being Tales of a First Round Nothing, the second being Tales with Tierra Fights Film and Folklore. If you like one, you'll probably like the other because they're basically anecdotal. The second one goes off into film and well, folklore, like it says for a little bit, but everything's folklore. And the film world was, you know, it's part of my life. So I tied it in with hockey as best I could. But anyway, yeah, if you'd like a book, do that. And check out Penny Posh, man. It's coming up on Christmas. And Penny Posh Designs, my ex-wife, Danielle, it's her company, and it's just awesome, the products. It's hard to get the word out there, especially when all your, you know, inventory is in Newfoundland. But the hoodies, I highly recommend. I wouldn't just say that. And if you order one, if you want one, shoot me a note. And if you order one, you know, I'll throw in a book. I'll make it worth your while, for sure. Or a signed picture or whatever it is you want. So for all my listeners or listener at this point, we're going to get back to having guests every week. It's just the circumstance that I'm in, and it's a great one personally, but I know that for you guys who are looking forward to talking to these guests, can probably be a little bit monotonous to every week, more often than not lately here that I don't have a guest, but trust me, it's coming. It's a situation. And, my schedule on this show gets a lot lighter, in about 3 or 4 days. So I think what I'm going to do is knock off while I can, while they're letting me use their studio, where there'll be no Wi-Fi issues. I'll try to get, Nasty and a few more. Jordan Nolan, I mean, he's playing one of these guys in this show, one of the gyms. And, you know, 3 Stanley Cups, right? 3 Stanley Cups in this era is almost impossible. And you think of all the great players that don't have one. So he'll be great to talk to. And, of course, his brother Brandon, who also played in the NHL for Carolina, but a career ender with concussions. But, you know, that and more coming up. But, anyway, I'm going to sign off. I got a lot to do today. We're going to head to the Sudbury Wolves game. I can't wait. We got some stuff to do around the rink, like some promotional stuff and that. We're going to have a few beers, I think. But I'm looking forward. I went to see Sudbury play Ottawa last week, OHL, and it was fantastic. Fantastic to watch. Reminded me of my junior days. And I don't watch many OHL games. I've seen some, but lots of Q games and lots of Western League games. But I love watching junior hockey, and to see it in the old Sudbury Barn with such a historic team was a treat, and I can't wait to go again tonight. Listen, this has been Tales with Tierra. I appreciate everybody for not only your patience, but for your dedication. Thanks for listening to me. I'll be back next week. Cheers, everybody. I'll catch you on the rebound.